So we just got out of an incredible summer series that you are beautifully and wonderfully made, and I really hope that that built up your courage and your strength and your identity and knowing who we are in Christ and not what this world is preaching at us, but what God is saying to us. And so we're going to jump back into 1 Corinthians. We have been going line upon line, precept upon precept in 1 Corinthians. And I was so excited to get back into it. And then I read the scriptures that I'm in today, and I was like, what? Wait, where's Dr. V? Why is she not the one preaching this one? She even looked at him, too, and she's like, oh, you're doing it? And so I guess the Lord has a, you know, he's a comedy act, okay? So I'm going to be diving into these scriptures, and my husband was very excited about them, and you will see why later. And so, but before we do, let's pray, and let's just surrender this moment and this time to God. And for every man in the room, you should record this and give this to your wives, because it'll benefit you later. All right. Well, dear Father God, we just thank you for just your word that goes forth, God. God, I thank you that you have intricately put together a plan for humanity. And that, God, that your word is what teaches us, and it's what molds us, it's what shapes us. Lord, I pray that today we can put aside ourselves and we can step into our mindset in the Spirit, and that Spirit of God teach us today, Holy Spirit, fill us and show us from your word the truth of what your word is saying. And so, Lord, we thank you that no weapon formed against these beautiful girls will prosper. God, I pray every distraction, everything that wants to rob from them what you are going to plant today, Lord, we bind the works of Satan. And God, we ask, God, that it would be a seed sown and on good ground and fertile ground, and that it would bless them and their families and future generations. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Awesome. Okay, so how many of you are here for the first time to AM? Hi, welcome. Hi, guys. We're so happy you're here. I love that. Well, we're really casual around here. As you can tell, I'm wearing my tennis shoes and my baggy pants. And we're just girls. And so we can say things we can't say in front of the guys. And so today, I do believe that the Lord wants to talk to some girls about some things. And so as you guys get settled in, I'm going to give you a second, because everybody wants to talk. I can hear you. All right. We're going to get into this. And I had titled my message, My Body, My Choice, Debunked. Sex. You see, yeah, I got real quiet in here. What? The Bible talks about sex. What Bible are you reading? Because I will tell you, I've never had so much sex education as the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it talks about the jacked up parts of sex, and it talks about the good parts of sex, okay? And so we are going to address some things today. And I am going to ask you to be mature. I don't care what side of the aisle you stand on, but if you tell me that you are a Christian, okay? Seriously. I want you to understand that you no longer live according to how you were raised, what culture you come from, where you find yourself in society, whether poor, rich, I don't care. Because God doesn't define things by those social classes. The kingdom of God's word is for all of us. And he wants us to change our thinking. And there's this narrative going around, and I am the person, if you do not know my story, I was date raped when I was 15 years old. And I was that girl, like, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to save myself for marriage. After that happened, everything flew out the door for me. And it was downhill spiral from there. I ended up sleeping around, guys. I ended up finding myself in an abusive relationship and had 2 abortions because I, under the radar, didn't tell anybody about it, and I found myself at abortion clinics, and I hated myself more and more every day because of it. So you might look at me and think, oh, she's got it all together. No, God got me all together after all of that, but I was a mess. And Satan used sex in a perverted, disgusting way in my life, to the point that when I met my husband, I was radically restored. God had totally walked me through healing and the process of forgiving myself for the abortions, forgiving myself for all the things that come with all those links that happen. With every man that you sleep with is a new soul tie. I will get into this. There's so many things connected in all of these places. And Satan loves to pervert and to distort and to dissect and hurt and rip apart our society. And he's done a very good job to the point where we have people standing on platforms and saying, my body, my choice. But the reality is in the kingdom, we are dead to our flesh and we are alive in Christ Jesus. And my body is not my choice, especially if I am married as a woman. I am a married woman undercover, under the mission of my husband. And Paul is starting to address this because he is living in a society. The Corinthians were jacked up just like all of us. They were perverted. There were ideas and mindsets that maybe some of you have never heard before. Maybe some of you just only live this way because this is how auntie and mama and grandma have always taught you. But I'm here today to flip the script on you for a second, because God actually created sex, and it's supposed to be a beautiful thing inside of the terms of marriage. And so I want to pause for a second, and any of you that have your back turned to me, you're going to get a crink in the neck, and I don't want to be a pain in your neck. So why don't you turn your chair around so that you're comfortable, because I believe there's going to be some truths coming out of the Word today, and I want you to be able to hear them, and I don't want you to have any distractions, because I believe God is trying to get the truth into our hearts, because the world is shouting so loud disruptive things for your soul, and if you believe these things, they will send you to hell, because they are contrary, listen to me, to God. Contrary to God. When we go against what God says, we put ourselves in a position of separation. We put ourselves in a position of living a cursed life. We put ourselves in a position of sin, which is evil, and it is the realm of Satan. And so when we begin to do things God's way, we are pulling ourselves out of the world and the realm of Satan, and we are putting ourselves into the realm and the kingdom of light, which is God. And so we got to switch some things in our thinking. We got to change some things. And not according to what Pastor Jess says, no, but according to what the Word of God says. Go check me on it. Go find out for yourselves, because I'm telling you, the Word of God addresses this topic massively. So we are going to pick up on a few verses where the whole Bible actually talks about this in depth. So today, are you ready? Are you okay with me? Can we do this together? Remember, I'm just the messenger. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 9. And it says, now regarding the questions you asked in your letters, it is good to abstain from sexual relations. Let me set this up for you. The Corinthians are now newly saved, but they live in a very perverse society. There were temple prostitutes. There was they thought that they would get closer to God by sleeping with these temple prostitutes. So think about how perverted this is. This is going, oh, I want to be closer to God, but I'm going to have sex with whoever I want. And so they were fulfilling their pleasures in any way they knew. So now they're saved, and they're writing Paul going, we have a lot of questions. And Paul's like, let me get to some of your questions. And he's telling them it would be best to abstain from sex. Now, do you remember, I don't know, back in the day when I was in high school, that was the number one thing during sex education. Abstinence. Do you remember that word? Yeah, they don't teach that anymore in high school. They just pretty much hand out condoms and give you birth control without you parents knowing. Did you know that? Yep. And so the reality is they used to preach abstinence at my age. Now I am 44 years old. So how long ago was I in high school? I don't even know. I can't even count that back. And so things have changed over time, but here's Paul pretty much saying abstinence, verse 2. But because there is so much sexual immorality is immoral acts against your flesh, okay? And it is sexual immoral acts against yourself. Sex outside of marriage is a sin against your body, your own body. Each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. I did not see there each woman should have her own wife, and each man should have her own husband. Just saying, that's a perversion in itself. I'm going to say it like it is, and I don't care if you like me or not, but somebody needs to tell you the truth of what God's word says. And we don't live according to what the world says. We live according to what God says. So he's saying to the men, you need to have a wife, and to the women, you need to have a husband. Verse 3, the husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs. And some of you are like, amen. And the wife should fulfill her husband's sexual needs. And you're like, ooh. Verse 4, the wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and her husband gives authority over his body to his wife. You are now submissive to each other, guys. You are one in each other. Verse 5, do not deprive each other of sexual relationships. Ooh, you're holding out because he ain't getting you that purse you wanted. You in sin. Unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so that you can give yourselves a more completely to prayer. I have done this where Dan is like, are you kidding me? You're fasting? I'm like, yep, fasting you. Doesn't work, girls. He like spits a whole bunch of scriptures at me. I'm like, all right, just kidding. So just so you know, that's not what they're talking about. But there is a time where you can't set aside time to be like in prayer together, and that is something you're doing, okay? But afterward, he said, you should come together again, that means have sex again, so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. See, God made us human. The feelings that you feel are very human. They're very normal. You're not a weirdo for desiring sexual things. We are sexual beings. God made us this way, but within the confines of what God is talking about, okay? And then it says, we don't want to have Satan take us over. Verse 6, I say this is a concession, not a command. Verse 7, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. I love how Paul is single, and Paul is talking to the single people like, it's the best. So he's saying this is not a command, but if you can be single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God, one kind or another. So they'll be single and they'll be married. How many single in the room? All right. How many married in the room? All right. If you are dating someone, you are single. Just FYI, you're not married. Even if you're engaged, you're still single. You're not married. If you're living together and playing house, you are not married in God's eyes. I don't know why I need to define that, but there you go. Okay? So now how many single are in the room? That's what I thought. And how many married are in the room? Yeah, okay. Let's just call things what they are, right? Okay. So, and no judgment. Verse 8. So, I say to those who aren't married and to widows. How many widows do I have in the room? All right. He's going to talk to you all. Okay? And he says, those that are not married who are widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am. See, Paul's really a promoter of singleness. Verse 9. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than burn with lust. All right? Some of you are like, all right, amen. But don't just marry an ungodly man. Okay, so it's better to stay single. Let Jesus be your husband until you find that person. Whole nother topic. All right. Sex is sexual intercourse. It is a coming together of a man and a woman. This is God's definition of sex. A man, the plumbing works right in God's kingdom. Can we just say things like they are? Like, I don't know why we call things that aren't something. And God says between a man and a woman, and they are to come together, and that when they come together on their wedding night, I'm going to get deep here. You guys ready? That if the woman is a virgin, she should bleed In fact, back in the olden days, they used to have a room where kings and queens would come together, and there were windows, and everybody would watch to see. After they had sex, they would hold up a cloth with blood on it to show that their marriage had been consummated. Yes. Oh, fun, right? That's crazy to us now, but that's how real this is. Because when that has been broken, it is now a blood covenant exchange. Blood covenant exchange. I don't know how many of you have taken the blood covenant class in Bible college. It's life-changing. And when we understand what God's covenant is with us in a blood covenant, and that when he went to the cross and he was stripped on that cross and his blood shed, that was a breaking into a oneness, and it was a covenant that he made with us for the redemption of our sins. So do you see how sex and God and marriage all link up? You see, everything speaks in the Bible. And God is saying that within the confines of marriage, sex is to be an intimate expression between a husband and a wife. It is holy, and it is within marriage only. It is not holy outside of the confines of marriage. Satan has distorted and perverted this over time, and Satan is distorting the truth of sex and its purpose. The beauty of sexual intercourse with God's plan is hard to understand and live in because of the distortion that we have lived under. So you have seen it done wrong. You have lived it yourselves, girls, just like I have. And we have been so distorted in it that sex is no longer beautiful or holy or special, but it's tainted and it's disturbed and it's robbed from us. The very thing God created for the union of a marriage, for us to understand the depth of his sacrifice on the cross, in our relationship with him, Satan has come to rob it, to distort it, and to steal it from our understanding. And he knew that if he did that, it would come with a whole bunch of mess behind it. See, the brokenness, the psychological problems when you have sex outside of marriage, when that date rape that I had to go through and all those things that I went through, there were so many things I had to go through. God had to bring me through some restoration. It is deep. And then when I got married to Dan, guess what happened? He was a virgin. And he was like, let's go, lady. I've been waiting 21 years. And I'm like, I'm scared. I locked myself in the bathroom for 3 hours. He's like banging on the door like, dude, seriously? Why? Because it was never a good thing for me. It was never holy. It was never good. It was always a means to like shut someone up or keep them happy or get them off my back or whatever. And so I had to learn in our marriage. We've been married 23 years now, and I can tell you there is restoration on the other side of that brokenness. Our sex life is beautiful and it's wonderful, and Dan has taught me the love of God in and through those moments. But it took him, a very gracious man, to walk me through that and to understand what is wrong with my wife, because I didn't understand the depth of this. But here, God knows how deep this is, how holy this is, and how good this is. For when husband and wife come together and it's pure and it's holy and it's undefiled before God, guess what happens? God can bless it, he can anoint it, and he can bring his pleasure into that marriage. And so we have been robbed of this in our society. You can't turn a TV show on that doesn't talk about adultery. My husband hates The Bachelor because he's like, it's breeding ground for adultery. He's like, think about this. They're dating everyone at the same time and kissing everybody at the same time. Like, adultery. So how is that going to be different in their marriage? I was like, dang, I never thought about it that way. Right? Like, think about this. You've got every show has some gay couple on there trying to be parents. I feel bad for that child who's missing out on a mama or missing out on a dad, because both roles together complete a person, because that's the way God ordained it. But Satan's done a really good job at robbing family, removing parents, removing the identity of all of those beautiful things. And so we are all a product of distorted brokenness, all of us. And yet God says, well, then why don't you start from this day forth into a new way? that you understand who you are. And that even though the world talks about it so nonchalantly, sex is like, so I just had a partner, you know, and I went on a date. We ended up sleeping together. Then I'm going to go on another date. Maybe I'll end up in their bed or not. You see, this has become so common in our society. And yet God is saying every single person that you link yourself to, you now have a covenant with. Let me talk about soul ties for a second. I'm going to get into all this stuff. This is not on my notes the way that it's supposed to be, but we're going to just go there. Can we go there? Every time you have sex with somebody, you have a soul tie with them. Have you ever had that boyfriend that you just can't get away from? And you're like, I don't know why, but we have this like energy that we can't get away. Like, he's a horrible person, but I keep going back. Right? Well, it's a soul tie. You have engaged in sex outside of marriage, and you have tied your souls together. You say, oh my goodness, I did not know that. So think about, if you've slept around, how many souls are you tied to? How many things are you connected to that you never knew you were connected to? See, the world doesn't want to talk about this, do they? And so let's just say this. If somebody is demon-possessed and you sleep with them, that demon can transfer into you. Did you know that? Through sex. Am I right? For those of you that understand black magic, you understand this stuff. And so God wasn't telling us to not have sex before marriage because he's a big bad God. He's telling us because he's protecting your soul from the death of eternity and from hell. He's telling you because he wants you to have a sound mind and not brokenness like Pastor Jess had to walk herself through and get redemptive healing for years over. He wanted to rescue us from pain because any good parent wants to rescue their kid from having to go through hard things. And yet, we do not understand that these soul ties will rob us of our days, of our time, and of our destiny. And so how do you break a soul tie? Simple, actually. Simple. Are you ready? You get on your knees and you say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I repent before you. And I come before you, and I ask that you will break this soul tie with so-and-so. Say their name. And say, I break its power over my life. I bind its works over my life. It will no longer control me. It will no longer have a link to me. And in the name of Jesus, you put the blood of Jesus over that. I break it from this point on. And you see, there will no longer be that control, that pull, that you'll be able to get away. You'll be able to find God again. You'll be able to have that freedom in Christ. All of this comes through sex. Huh. Who would have thought? Well, Satan knew. But the world is so foolish, they don't even understand how deep this stuff goes. So when Paul is saying, keep your marriage holy and stay with each other, he's saying, don't bring anything ungodly into your home, because what are you doing? That means you got to watch your eye gates, girls. You got to watch your ear gates, girls. You can't be watching those, you know, shows where your husband becomes the bad guy and then he walks in the door and you're just like railing on him. And he's like, what did I do? I just came home. You see, you got to guard your heart with all diligence. You got to be the one that lifts him up and builds him up. You got to be the one that comes under his mission and it's his helpmate like God created us to be. Some of you are going, I don't know how to be a helpmate. Well, keep coming to Women Rock and we will teach you how to be a helpmate. Because I'll tell you, it is hard and it is opposite of what you want to do. And it does go against our rebellious spirit. And it does go against it all. But yet God has a plan. In Genesis 2:22, God thought of you and thought of Adam and thought of marriage and thought of sex. He knew it all and he intricately planned it. Genesis 2:22 says, then the Lord God made woman from the rib. But first, girls, before these verses, he put Adam to sleep. God didn't need him to create her. He knew what he wanted to do with us. He brought her to the man. That means we were needed. He cannot do what he needs to do without us. Why? Because we're a joint, unified team. Okay? Verse 23, at last, the man explained, this one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now think about this. I was thinking about Adam for a second. He had been part of this creation process. He got to name all the animals. He got to be around every new creature that God was creating, every new plant. He watched everything happen. And yet he says, at last, this one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You see, he was longing for a soulmate. She will be called woman, and I think it's woe man, because she was taken from a man. Verse 24, this explains why man leaves his father and his mother. How many of you got boys? I know, I got two. And already, one's totally in love, and I'm like, all right. I told you to do that the other day. How come you didn't do that? Well, you know, she said it, and like, it's, and I'm like, okay, I'm chopped liver already. I love it, though. I think it's the way God created it. This explains why man leaves his father and his mother and joins his wife, and the two are united as one. Why are they one? Because they come together, they consecrate their marriage. They are two individuals, but they are one in spirit in Christ Jesus. That's why marriage can only be between a man and a woman centered in Christ, because when we come together, we become one in Christ together. So the world out here marrying and calling it marriage and doing it their own way, that is not under what God says. Okay? So many big topics here. Are you guys still okay with me? Verse 25, now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. I do not know what that feels like. Does anybody, even when I'm alone, I'm like, ew. I shouldn't have eaten that ice cream last night. Okay, Ephesians 5:31. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife. This is Ephesians 5:31. And the two are united as one. There we go. The Bible says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Both these verses are talking about the joint unity in marriage. Verse 32, this is a great mystery. I love how God calls marriage a mystery. And how we become one. But it is an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself. Listen, you might have a man in your life and he doesn't love himself, so he can't love you. Because he can't love himself the way God sees him. So he needs to come and have a personal relationship with God. You got to pray him in, girls. You got to pray for him. You got to ask God to reveal his power over him and his goodness over him. I actually was listening to a man recently talking about his body figure, and I was like, well, I didn't know men do this. I was like, what? And he was like not happy with the way that his body is turning out and all this stuff, and I'm just like, man, we're just human. We all are just human, and we all are insecure in our own way. But let's learn to love each other where we're at, and let's build each other up, right? And it says, verse 33, so again, I say each man must love his own wife. There we go again. Not someone else's wife. As he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Whoo, girls, that's you. And respect is not dishonoring them, uncovering them in public. You can go back to my marriage series because I don't have time. But it's coming alongside them, supporting them. When you don't understand, you submit, you come under the mission of him, because that's where you're protected. You can't be louder than him. Don't overassert him with your personality. You let him lead. Oh, mine's not strong enough. He won't lead, so I have to. No, stop leading. Stop doing his job. And start letting him be the man and step up. Seriously. So now that we see how God made this beautiful, and it's a privilege to be married and in a union of marriage between man and a woman, we begin to see how Satan has distorted and removed and confused and perverted what God deemed holy and pleasing to him. This is what God is wanting us to do. He wants us to dissect this. Sex is like fire in a fireplace. It is warm and delightful. Outside the hearth, it's destructive and uncontrollable. Whoo! Paul is hearing so much from these people, and he wants to give them a report of what they need to be doing. These are the things Paul was hearing. In 1 Corinthians 5:1, it says, I can hardly believe the report about sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. Pagans are unbelievers. I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. Can we all say you? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 20. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually a part of Christ? Can I say that to you, girls? Do you realize that your body, touch it for a second, is a part of Christ. Wow. You are made in his image. You are called by him. Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Right? That seems repulsive. Never! And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? We talked about this soul tie. For the scripture says the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Do you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You house God, girls. Say, I am a house for the Holy Spirit to work here on earth. Wow, that changes everything, doesn't it? And it says, don't you realize that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? It's a gift from God. Do you not belong to yourself? For God bought you with a high price on that cross. So you must honor God with your body. See, fornication is like a cat's paw. Fornication is sex outside of marriage. It's like a cat's paw. When lightly stroked, it's quiet, soft, and pleasurable. But increased pressure brings out the claws of sin that will shred your very life. See, girls, we got to stay away from these things that will harm us. This is why Paul is saying to the single people, if it is possible, do not touch the women. Stay single. Stay close to God. Do what you can do. I guess nowadays we got to say homosexuality, because I could see people going, well, I like women. I actually don't like men, so I'm still in the will of God. No, you're not. Don't fool yourself. You're not fooling God. And those things are displeasing to God. They will separate you from him. If you want to learn about homosexuality, Pastor Dan's preaching in Romans this weekend. So get ready. So what God created as a blessing, if done outside of marriage, causes a separation and judgment on you. Whew, I don't want judgment on my marriage. I don't want judgment in my life. I lived under that judgment. It's horrible. I never want to fill those flames of hell again. But I'm telling you right now, some of you are living in this, and you're wondering why your life is hard. You're wondering why things don't just go the way you need them to go. You're wondering why you can't seem to get out of it. I hope some of this is helping you understand why. Because there's no pleasure in it. Because it is from a dark world. It is from Satan. It is from a place that he wants to manipulate you and lie to you and bring you down. But yet God's word will restore you. It will restore your heart. It will restore your mind. It will heal your soul. It will bring you life. It will bring you joy. And something as simple as making the choice to abstain will keep you in perfect communion with Christ. Perfect communion. Sex and intimacy is a picture of us joining ourselves with Christ in the marriage of picture and Christ in the church. When we asked Jesus to be the Lord of our lives and we gave him our lives, how many of you have done this? Right? Okay. We are no longer to live as we used to live. That means that girl, that Jess, that whatever your name is dead. I don't know that girl anymore. In fact, when I tell my story, I can talk about it because it's not me. When I tell my kids about it, because I tell my kids it all. Why? Because they need to know, run from sin. This is where I was, and I don't want you to go there one day. That's my past, and when you don't serve God, that's what you'll end up doing. And so when I talk about that girl, she is dead. I'm not raising her from the dead. I'm not bringing her back. She is dead. She's not breathing. She's not coming back. I am one with Christ. I'm alive in Christ Jesus. So are you if you're a believer in Christ Jesus. So then how then can I change to be this child of God he's asking me to be in my marriage with my husband and if I'm single in my relationship with him, Christ, my father, and my husband? You see, this message is not just for the married people. This message is for the single people too. And number one, I want to just say this. I didn't have this until this morning. I was like, what, you want me to do this first, God? And he said, yes. He said, some of them, in order to be right with me, they may have to repent of some sin. Guys, we can't let sin be something shameful to us any longer. When we walk into the presence of God, it is in his presence that he shines a light on where we're not right. And we go, ooh, I haven't been good there. And I want you to question yourself. Just take a moment. Is there any sin in my life? Have I been wrong towards my husband? In my thinking? In my inner thoughts? In my respect towards him? Have I been holding out sex like God is talking about in these scriptures? Because he makes me mad. And he don't get none if he don't do things the way that I'm asking. This is all sin. I want you to really think on that. Now, if you're single, have you been looking at things you shouldn't look at and getting yourself going in ways you shouldn't be going? Have you been engaging in relationships that are unpleasing to God and that are bringing you into a place of sin that will lead you to hell? I want you to just have a moment. I want you to think on that, because I can't answer that question for you. I had to answer it for me. You got to answer it for you. You see, the beautiful thing is that when we come and we confess our sin to God, guess what happens? He's faithful and just to forgive us. There's nothing too big that you can do. There's no dark place that you can go that the love of God will not come and draw you back in and say, oh, I know that you've been there. I've seen it all, and I've been just waiting on the sideline for you to come back to me. But God's love will wrap you in his arms, and he will wash you clean. The cross and the blood of Jesus, it cleanses us. It washes us as white as snow. Isn't this good news for all of us? There's nothing too big that you can do that will keep you from the love of God. It is simply your humility to come before him and say, God, I have sinned, and I need to repent today. And so 1 John 1:8 through 10 says, if we claim we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves, and we are not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. Isn't this good news? If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar. Oh, God is not a liar, guys. We are. And he says we are calling God a liar. And then it says, and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the word of God says the mouth speaks. Sometimes I just listen to people just to see where they're at. And a lot of times they'll tell me where they're at by how much they talk. And they can talk a lot of Christianese, but in the middle of their Christianese, there's little things that I'm like, oof, that was ungodly. That's a wrong mindset. That's demonic. That's evil thinking. That's going to rob them of their truth, the truth of God's word. Not their truth, the truth of God's word. We don't have our own truth any longer as Christians. The only truth we live by is God's word's truth. Okay? So when you're like, oh, that's my truth. Oh, that's your truth. No, that's stupid. That's also very immature for Christians to be saying, because the truth that we live in is the word of God. And that's what we live by. That's who we are. And so that's why we can come together in this room and not sit in shame, but understand that if I come to the throne room of God, that he's open arms waiting for me and saying, come, daughter. I don't care how dark it's been, how hard it's been. I've been waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come and repent. Number two, how do we do things God's way in our marriages? And how do we do things God's way as single people? Number two, I have to stop thinking of myself only. We live in such a selfish society now, but look how broken down it is now. So broken, right? You have your self-care days, and I don't disagree with all that. Like, there was a point where we never thought about ourselves, and really, we were dying on the vine. But now the pendulum has swung so much that we think about ourselves so much that we're, like, not even taking care of our children, we're not engaging in our marriages, we're not serving in our churches, we're not building the kingdom of God, because why? Because I have some me time. And the reality is that God never called us as Christians to be selfish. But we live in the most narcissistic society we've ever been in. And And the whole world is about themselves, and Satan is selfish. And so if they're following the father of all lies, they're going to be selfish. That my body, my choice is a selfish choice. Because there's a child that deserves life. And whether you can take care of that child or not, somebody else can. But you now have engaged in that, and you now are responsible for that child. And before God, I got to make sure this child gets here so that God can do what he needs to do in their life, whether it's you raising them or someone else. And listen, I have a very good couple waiting for a child right now. So if any of you know someone, I'm not kidding. They wrote me a beautiful letter. They're professional football players. Her husband's a professional football player. This child will live a beautiful life. They are radically saved, and they are looking to adopt a child because the system is so broken, they can't get one without so much red tape and all the stuff that comes with it. And so, you see, there's always someone that will love someone else. There's always room for baby girls. When I thought, oh, the world is over, I was being told as a pastor's kid, your dad's going to have to lose his church because I was 15 years old. He's going to lose his church. And this is when the Rock Church was growing really big. And I was like, I don't want people to not have a church. I don't want them to not have a pastor. I got to keep this to myself. I can't tell anyone. And it was the shame. And I went in that abortion clinic by myself. And I'll tell you right now, there's no love there. There's no God there. It's so evil. It's so demonic. Such a lie. I wish I would have done things differently. But I know God restored me and healed me and forgave me. I'm so grateful he forgave me. And those children will always be a part of me. Always. Always be a part. I was selfish. I thought I was being unselfish for the church, but really I was selfish because I wasn't thinking of my children. And you see, a real person who can find Christ and be redeemed can own their mistakes. And we live in a society that wants to have an excuse for why they make the decisions they do, and they want to justify it, but with God, it's unjustifiable. You're just broken and you're a mess. Just come to him and repent, and he'll help you get better. But you got to bring that truth and that brokenness to his feet. And see, God wants to do that for you, but you got to stop thinking about yourself. In marriage, we're so selfish. Not today, honey. I'm bloated today. I got headache today. My husband always says, well, the cure for a headache is sex. Because one time I was like, oh, I don't have a headache anymore. He's like, you see, we got to take care of the needs of our husbands. We got to take care of the needs of each other. God says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, you don't love yourselves, so how could you love your neighbor? Loving ourselves is not about loving ourselves. Loving ourselves is about how we can love other people. Why? So that we could show the love of God in all we do, so that we can bring them into the kingdom, so that they can know the goodness of God and the restoration of God. Our marriages speak God. They speak God to our kids. They speak God to our neighbors. They speak God to our church. They speak God to the people that we have influence over, the people at our jobs. Girls, we've got to get better at taking care of our husbands and not thinking about our needs at his expense. That's not love, that's lust. Okay? The words that God spoke in 1 Corinthians, or Paul is speaking in 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, the husband should fulfill the wife's sexual needs. So here's the husband's meeting our needs, and the wife should fulfill the husband's needs, and vice versa. Verse 4, the wife gives the authority of her body over to her husband, and the husband gives the authority of his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of these sexual relationships unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time to give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And it is a concession. It is not a command. So some of you, this goes for the single believers. You are joined with Christ. You are no longer your own. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And that means to abstain from sex unless you are within the confines of marriage if you are single. You see, the world has us so focused on our needs and our desires. It is all about happiness. I heard something on TV the other night And this person had gotten a makeover, and they were unhappy with their makeover, and they said, well, I'm just not happy. I'm still not happy. They cut up their body majorly, and they were recovering. I'm still not happy. I might go back into surgery again. And it was like, do you think that that is going to make you happy? You see, nothing, guys, is going to make us happy, because we are not going to find joy and happiness in what this world gives us. We only find it in Christ Jesus. When we're in the presence of God, when we're doing things God's way, when I'm having sex with Dan, guess what? It's holy. I don't want you to think about it. Please don't think about that. So weird. Stay out of my bedroom. But I have to use me as an example, so. So awkward. But it is holy. It's beautiful. It's a sweet fragrance to God. There's no shame in it. There's no guile in it. There's no evil. It's like a symphony to God, because that's how God created sex within marriage. Isn't that good? You guys need to go home and have a symphony with your husband tonight if you're married. If you're single, you go and put on worship music, and you get your hot cup of tea, and you read your Bible, and you just have your God moment, and you enjoy the presence of God, you and your intimate time with the Lord, and you ask Him to take away those desires until that day comes. And then girls that are single, you pray in a new man of God. You pray in a man who's going to be a man of God, someone who's going to love God intimately, who's going to take care of Him, who's going to love you the way Christ loves the church. Begin to pray for him. Some of you haven't even been praying for him. Chloe's like, I think Mike is going to get married before me. And I said, well, you've been praying for your husband? Because I think he's praying for you. Every guy that comes around, he's like, out within 3 days. She's like, that's your fault. You pray him out. I'm like, I do. And she's like, but I think he's praying too. I'm like, well, you better be praying for him. You see, you gotta pray for that man. Believe God for the impossible. Love is personal self-sacrifice. This is what Jesus did for the betterment of someone else. That's what true love is. Love is not sex. Nope, love is not a feeling. Love is personal self-sacrifice. It is a choice. It is a choice that is made to love someone at your expense. Jesus displayed this to us on the cross. We talked about what love isn't. It is my needs at your expense. And that's what this world is talking about, shouting it from pulpits, shouting it from stages. And it's so sad, because the world is eating it up like it's right, but it's a lie being spewed. I believe it's a curse being spoken every time it's said. You see, my body, my choice is selfish. And this is where rape comes in, because you're raped because that person's desires were more important than what your value was and what your moral systems were. Men sleeping with prostitutes, girl after girl, he doesn't value her. He's not taking care of her. I've heard these things where the prostitutes are like, I'm okay, I'm good. I don't feel devout. No, you do. You just don't know. You're so deceived. You're under the lie of the enemy so much that you think what you're doing is valuable. No, it's such a broken place. You don't know your goodness of God that He created you for. You see, God wants to redeem all of this back. Men denying who God is made them to be by sleeping with the same sex, or women denying who God created her to be by sleeping with the same sex. Guys, this is an anti-Christ spirit. When God created something, you're denying God's creation. Antichrist. Whew, some of you are just mind blown on that one. So obvious. This isn't love. It's me, 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 selfish narcissism. When I deny my husband, I better make sure that it's not for selfish reasons, girls that are married. But it better be for some, you know, prayer and fasting or medical issue or something going on where you guys are in agreement. In this period, you're going to just give a rest to it, because there's some things that have to take care that you have to take care of. And then you come back together. Taking care of each other is a command from God. God says this to us, that we are to take care of each other. We are to love each other. Matthew 6:24, Jesus says this to his disciples, that if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must take up your cross and you must follow me. When I say yes to a marriage, when I say yes to my husband, when I say yes to God when he asks me to do something radical and I'm like, whoa, that's uncomfortable, I don't want to do that. Guess what happens? I'm denying myself and I'm taking up my cross and I'm running after those things that God has asked me to do. I'm denying myself. I'm putting myself down, my flesh, my will, my desires, my wants. And I'm stepping into all that God needs and God wants to bless and God wants to prosper. You see, your true purpose, your true identity is not in the arms of a man. Your true purpose and identity is in the arms of God. And all those other things come with it. The beauty of marriage, the beauty of children, the beauty of family, the beauty of friendship, the beauty of intimacy with Christ. These are all beautiful places that we get to enjoy when we step into all God has for us. We wives have to follow our husbands as we do Christ. The husband is the head of the home as Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 5, 23 through 26. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. In a beautiful godly marriage, this is at play on both ends. Some of you are not in these type of marriages. You're going, I'm trying to be that woman, but my husband's not that man. Well, the Bible says, does talk about that, and he says to pray for them, to live your life holy, and that he will eventually follow that. There's this beautiful story, and I don't know if she's here today, but there was a wife, and I won't say their names, they're in our church, they're wonderful. He now volunteers in our Bible college, he's an amazing man of God, but he was not saved, and she was coming to church faithfully. And every day, every Sunday, I'm going to church. Okay, have fun. He wouldn't go. So finally, he was like, what's this church all about? So he decided to jump in online and just see what was happening. Well, guess what happened? He got saved. And he didn't tell her, though. And so the next Sunday rolled around, and she's like, okay, I'm going to church. He goes, okay, I'm going with you. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, I got saved last week. And she's like, what? And they started coming to church together. He's now serving in the house of God. But that took years. That took her just being faithful, loving him, believing God for him. It can be done, girls. It can be done. And yet, God has your back. Number three, how do you stay connected to what God wants? How do you live this life out that God is asking of you? You got to stay connected, and you will have safety. Did you know that women need safety? I mean, it's something that we really desire. In fact, I was talking to a counselor once, and she said to me that children by the age of 4 are so formed in their knowing of what they need. Their number one need is to know that they feel safe. Isn't that interesting? And she said, and within marriage, women want to feel safe. Listen, we live in a crazy world right now. But when you are in the confines of what God says, guess what happens? You're in safety bubble. You're in the safety bubble. And when you're in that safety bubble, right, guess what happens? God begins to ordain protection for you. He sends those guardian angels around you. When you're doing things God's way and you're in a marriage bed undefiled and you're doing things God's way, guess what? Satan tries to come and bring things into your marriage and you're like, nah, get out. You're not touching this marriage because we are ordained by God and we are in love and this is holy ground, and in holy ground, it can't be broken. Holy ground can't be crossed. Holy ground can't be defined. But when you're both serving God, when you're both running after God, when you're both staying connected into the things of God, you are in the safety of the Almighty. I know I'm never going to have to use those guns. Why? Because I got Jesus. I pray I never have to use them except to shoot clay. Really. I do. I pray that. And I know God will protect us because there has been so many times. Have you ever done this? You've left your doors unlocked thinking I locked the doors. And you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh my goodness, like, why? Because did you pray before bed? I put a hedge of protection around this house. Every night I pray this. I put a hedge of protection around this house. Guard us, guide us, keep us safe, God. Let no one cross over these thresholds. Listen, they try, but it ain't gonna happen. Why? Because I got my guardian angels out there protecting me and showing us, taking care of us. We are supernatural, and we live in a supernatural world, but we are physical in this supernatural world. So let's use God's supernatural in our lives to stay connected and stay safe. 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, do not deprive each other of these sexual relationships unless you both agree to refrain from this sexual intimacy for a limited time so that you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. How many of us should do this a little bit more often? Yeah, the men will not be happy with me if I tell you that. But this time of prayer is so intimate. It's so special. Turn off the TV, girls, and go get alone with Jesus. Go turn off all the music that is just constantly berating you, even if it's Christian. Turn it off and sit in your car alone and drive home. And just say, hi, God. Hi. How you doing today? Lord, speak to my heart today. My dog peed all over the house yesterday. I have a Shih Tzu. There's a name. There's a reason. That's her name. And she's a brat, and she's lucky she's cute, because I would kill her otherwise. And so she's like, and I'm like, bad dog, you know. And so I found all this pee. I should be studying, but I see little pee spots on my floors, and I'm like, and so I have this like new vacuum thing it's like a wet vac thing. And I'm like, I'm going to try my new wet back. So I get my wet back out, and I'm like, I got to clean this up before it stinks and stains my floors. And I'm like so mad, and the Lord says, why don't you talk to me while you're vacuuming? And I went, oh, yeah. Because you have to slowly vacuum. That is so annoying. I'm like, and I'm hyper, so I'm like, rrr. And so I was just like, Holy Spirit, teach me about sex. Teach me about it tonight, right now. And he brought me back to this moment, girls, where I felt the safest. I had just come out of my broken place as a young adult. My dad and mom had found out about everything. And I was so ashamed. I was so embarrassed. I felt so bad for them. They were tore up over it. And my dad said, come on, let's go. And he took me to a driving range. And he found this ball, this golf ball. This golf ball looked so tore up. It was mangled, it was ripped, it was peeling, and then he had a whole bucket of good golf balls. And he said, Jess, right now, you are not out of my covering. You are under my covering, because I was still 17. And he said, I'm going to protect you from that, because this guy was coming after me, this guy who had beaten me up. And he's like, you don't need to be afraid. I got you. But more than me, God's got you. And he said, this is the broken Jess. And he said, I want you to hit that ball as hard as you can out onto that range. And I hit that ball, and because it was broken, it was mangled, it was tore up, it didn't go very far. And I was like, man, I stink at this thing called golf. And he said, no, you don't. He said, because when you're broken, you can't go far because you're not under the safety of God's goodness. And he goes, but I've forgiven you. God has forgiven you. You got to learn how to forgive yourself, baby girl. And he goes, hands me a brand new shiny ball. He took it out of the package. It's a Callaway, which is like the best brand. And he said, now I want you to hit this ball, and I want to see how far you'll go under the covering of what my protection will bring and what God's protection in your life will bring as you get restoration in your life. And I hit that ball. Man, I hit it so far. Just FYI, I'm really good at golf. That ball went like over 300 yards. And he goes, now that's what I'm talking about. Don't let this define you right now. Don't let this define you. God is saying to you today, don't let your broken marriage define you. It's not the end of you. Don't let the disappointments of life and your broken places that you've found yourself in define you. But come under the covering of God. Come under his sweet presence. Come under his sweet goodness. We could talk about something as simple as sex, and yet we find the love of God in it. Because when we are under God's connection and divinely connected to him like we are in marriage, then we have the sweet love of God, the healing of God, the restoration of God, the safety of God. You find yourself single today, girls, live it up large. You don't have to take care of a man's needs right now. You don't have to schedule it in. You get to go schedule in your time with the Lord. You get to go put your hand to the plow and build the kingdom of God. You get to go be all that God has called you to be. Let's not look at ourselves as, oh, woe me. But let's look at ourselves and say, okay, God, what do you want to do with me? This is not the end of my story. You see, within the confines of marriage, a healthy, godly marriage where two people are serving Christ, do not deny yourselves sex. Do not deny yourselves the union. There's no excuse for that. So listen, ladies, you need to go home tonight. You have homework. Got homework tonight, okay? What is today, Thursday? You got homework. And do not mention my name at all. Because that would be weird. And so, you got homework. But we also, for those of you that find yourself broken because of sex, because of wrong choices, because of these moments, I want to give you a moment of repentance right now and a place of healing for you. And so, actually, can we put on some music, just some gentle music really quick? And I want you, if you have your notes, to just write yourself a letter of forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you, and I want you to forgive yourself, okay? We're gonna do this right now. And for some of you, you may have already done this process, and that's okay. You pray for them. I want you to pray for these girls because they need support. So go ahead, just take a moment. Maybe God's going to talk to you, married women, about how to take care of your husbands better. Ask him how you can do that. If you're single in this room, ask God, how can our relationship become more intimate, deeper? What are some things I need to cut out to make some more time for you? If the Lord is speaking something to your heart, write it down so you don't forget. Put it in your phone, write it somewhere just so you make it plain. The Lord wants me to walk you through prayer. So I want everyone to pray this prayer. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to accept him and know that he is waiting for you and that he loves you. Today, make him the Lord of your life. Walk away from sin. Say yes to God. If you've been running from God instead of to God, you've been doing more of your own thing instead of God's thing, you need to get right. Stop living lukewarm and start living fully for Christ. Today's your day. And some of you just need to simply repent of sin, but you don't know how to walk away from the sin because the desire is so strong, because it's so hard. We're going to ask for the power of God to come help you, because you can't do this alone. You need God. And it's going to take time, girls. Okay? I need you, those of you that have been in this sin that you can't seem to get out of, you've got to break some soul ties. So some of you might need to break some soul ties. That could be in heterosexual relationships and the homosexual ones. They're all soul ties. Break them. But not just that. You got to ask God to help you. Because we can't do anything on our own. We need the Spirit of God to help us. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and then at the very end of it, I'm going to pray for those that need just to repent, all right? So everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. See, dear Father God, I come before you today, a woman who needs you. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Today, I break the soul ties. I break the sinful connections. These strongholds that have so held me down and robbed me of your goodness and pleasure in my life. Lord, help me to serve you wholeheartedly, to walk away from my sin, to walk away from those that draw me into sin, and lead me down your path of righteousness and goodness all the days of my life. I give you my heart today, God. Come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. Be the ruler of my heart, the ruler of my life, the ruler of my soul. Today, I deny hell. I say no to Satan. I say no to sin. And I say yes to you, God. Yes to your ways. Yes to your comfort. Yes to your peace. Yes to your safety. And yes to all you have for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming alongside me, teaching me, showing me, and strengthening me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.